Ruth's peace, it's called Ruth's peace was not without judgment. Her peace was not without judgment. She knew where she was, and she makes a statement that starts a domino effect of absolute prosperity in her life. Now, we're looking at the word peace, and the definition we're dealing with, that God is dealing with us with, is prosperity. It's prosperity. We know that peace, the first definition means to join, which is so important because that's where our prosperity is coming from, the fact that we are joined. And again, when we are under that purification, when we're feeling that expiation, that being free from guilt and shame, oh, it's such a wonderful feeling, being free from anything, from fear and doubt, you are now joined and now you're in position for the prosperity. Prosperity itself is the same in many of the texts in the Hebrew. It means shalom. And shalom, we know, is peace. So prosperity and peace are like one and the same. They're actually the same. If you have peace of mind, God wants you to know you also are under his prosperity plan. If you have tranquility of your mind and you are in a place of propitiation, you are also in a place to prosper, tangibly prosper. It is the same with God. We've been calling it the shalom, shalom, and then the shalom came in, and then the prosperity also means shalva. There are four S's, shalom, 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 and now shalva. Shalva means security and abundance. That's what it means. Prosperity also has another definition in the Hebrew, shalva. Security and abundance. And we pick up in Proverbs 13:23, where we left off last week. It says here, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. So in every tillage of every person on the planet, every person, whether physically rich or poor, there is much food. And what we're dealing with is we're talking about provisions here. There's a whole bunch of provisions, even in the tillage of the poor. The word tillage means the fallow ground or the fresh furrow. It also means a fresh plow. So now in the fallow ground of the poor, there is much food. There's much food. The word much means abundance. It means great numbers. I like the word all. It means all. All provisions are already there in the tillage of the poor. And it says here, it means greatness. It means to multiply by the myriad, which means multitudes or droves. So you're multiplying by droves. And I can't really explain droves, just as far as the eye can see type stuff. That's how much wealth is already in your ground. God has already prepared it in your ground.
Amen.
But the problem, it's destroyed. It doesn't reach us because we're want of judgment, or it means we're without judgment. We're without judgment. What kind of judgment are we without? We're without, the word judgment means justice. Listen, including a participant's right or privilege. You're not judging your rights and privileges while you're under the peace. Prosperity is a right and privilege that we need to be judging and discerning. That my God, I love the tranquility of mind, but now let me judge right here and understand my privileges. It means what is lawful. It means what I'm worthy of. It means what you're worthy of. You are worthy if God has blessed you through Jesus to expiate your mind. You better believe you are now worthy to be prosperous.
Amen.
To walk in wealth and to walk in abundance. He's letting us know you're worthy, but it's being destroyed. Our harvest is being destroyed because our thinking has still not aligned itself to this covenant. And today we're going to look at Ruth. We're going to watch how Ruth was joined not only to Naomi, but how she was joined unto the Father. And from there, we're going to watch her prosperity just grow and grow and grow. Okay, so let's look at it here. So now, basically, we've got that. I don't even need to read that note. Let's go right into the story of Ruth here. We're going to pick up in Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And this is right after Naomi's boys died. And they passed away. And Ruth was married to one of her sons. And her actually, Naomi's husband died first, and then her two sons died. And so Naomi was left with her two daughter-in-laws. And we're going to pick up right here. The sister, one of the daughter-in-laws, not Ruth, the other one, she picked up and left at Naomi's word. She didn't want to, but Naomi insisted. But Ruth stays joined, and that's where we're picking up. In chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Understand this out the gate. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was not a woman from Israel. She was not a Jew. She was actually, it says it plainly, she's a Gentile. All right. So that's very important for you to know, because before Christ, we were all Gentiles too. Watch this now. And Ruth said, "Entreat me." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." So this Gentile is proclaiming, even after the death of her husband, who was a Jew, but she's still proclaiming, "I'm not leaving you, and I'm not leaving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob either. I'm staying joined here. I'm not leaving." Now, Naomi was really adamant to get Ruth up out of there and go back and return and to serve her gods, to go back to her mother's house and live her life. Naomi thought that God was cursing her, that she was under some type of curse, that God was not entreating her well, and she didn't want her daughter-in-laws to suffer that. But Ruth was adamant. She said, "No, I'm not going. I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. I'm joined to you, and I'm joined to your God as well." So this is all after the death of Naomi's sons and husband, and Naomi, again, was trying to tell Ruth to return back to her mother's house. Ruth remained loyal and actually adamant that she would leave. She would not leave Naomi under any circumstance. Nothing. In fact, she told her in the next verse that death would be the only thing that would separate them. So she didn't just stay joined to Naomi, but she actually stayed loyal and joined unto God. That's very important for you to understand. She stayed loyal and joined unto God. That's where God is trying to bring us.
Yes.
Now, in Ruth's being loyal and being joined unto the Father as well, Naomi as well as the Father, we start to see her faith starts to rise here. Her understanding and clarity begin to rise. And we're going to dive right into it in verses 1 through 12 here. This is actually Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I have chapter 1 if you're following the notes. It's 2, 1 through 12, and it begins here. Ruth's prosperity begins. Watch this. This is really powerful. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Listen to her words. "Let me go glean corn, all right, after him in whose sight I shall find grace." She wasn't speaking of Boaz at this time. She wasn't speaking of him. But Naomi didn't speak to Ruth about Boaz as of yet. She just knew, this is what's really powerful, in her being joined, she knew grace was coming. She knew God was going to grace her. Someone's going to give me favor that I can go glean corn behind them. They can take up what they take up, but whatever they don't get, I'll have grace. It will be there, and I too will glean. I will go ahead and bring a harvest in, and behind them, I will be graced. And she said unto her, this is Naomi speaking, go, my daughter. All right. Now, remember, the word prosperity, in one of the definitions of prosperity, going back up for a second, it prosperity, shalom, welfare, health, favor. There it is. All right. So Ruth was in position to where now her peace would now lead her to understanding, I will also have favor. I'm staying joined with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She's got peace about that. And now her peace, the first shalom, is leading her to believe for the second shalom, prosperity. So she says that I'm going to go and find favor. Someone will let me come and glean behind them. All right. So it says here, so Ruth wasn't without judgment. That's the key right there. She wasn't without judgment. She knew that favor, which is in the definition of prosperity, was going to come. She knew it. She was confident that God would take care and bless her and Naomi. This is the place that God is calling us to. This is a place we've got to arrive to and remain. You have to know, if you have peace, if you have it, you also must understand favor is right there with it.
Oh, bless God.
Prosperity is right there with it. And you can see where Ruth makes this statement here, and this thing begins a major domino effect. She was in position. She knew God was going to meet her in that field.
Amen.
And someone was going to let her glean some of the ears of corn. All right?
Amen. So amen.
She was not lacking judgment of the justice she was under. She didn't lack it. She had faith in what God was going to do. And therefore, here it goes. And she went, verse 3 says, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from the Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, and the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, who is this damsel? Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which is the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. Watch this now. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not therefore. Verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Oh, bless God.
Look at where she was positioned. Boaz saw where she was positioned.
Wow. Amen.
She saw that she was under the wings of God. That reminds me of where we are positioned on the ark. Our wings overlapping his. Ruth was right there under his wings. She had come to trust. And Boaz recognized this. And all of a sudden, he's giving her favor, pouring prosperity into her, giving her provisions from off of his field. Mm-hmm. It's really important that we understand that Boaz is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Ruth herself is a type and shadow of the entire church. She was a Gentile, came unto Boaz, and Boaz recognized her position, that she was under the wings of God. She was joined to God, the God of Israel. So it was nothing for Boaz to go ahead and bless her. In fact, God is using him as a conduit to go ahead and pour prosperity into her life. Getting provisions, reaping from where she did not sow, walking behind this thing, walking behind them and able to take up whatever she could. So now in the second verse, we see where Ruth wasn't without proper judgment in her being joined. She knew grace was going to find her. She knew that she would find grace when she went to glean the corn. Boaz in verse 12 confirms her joining and doesn't take credit for her prosperity. I love how Boaz did that. He doesn't take credit. He said, the Lord recompense. He's recompensing you. This isn't me. Though it's my field, it's not me.
Hallelujah.
Because you're joined under his wings, you've come to trust. Boaz didn't say, hey, I'm going to do this for you because I like you. I think you're cute and I'm going to go ahead and favor you. You know, Boaz stayed in the judgment and stayed right where God would have him so she would know who was blessing her.
Amen, Lord.
He plainly tells her the Lord God of Israel is blessing you and recompensing you because you're under his wings, trusting in him. It does remind me again, it reminds me of our position, everyone, of being joined to him through the expiating force that Jesus blesses us with, through the propitiating power that's in his blood. And man, when we feel that, we understand that we too must know that grace is now here. Favor is here. Prosperity is here.
Hallelujah.
Wealth is here. Praise God. Because we too are joined. And Jesus being our Boaz. Oh, the vineyards of Christ are ripe and ready for us to reap, for us to receive, for us to go to the next level financially, the next level in wealth, the next level in our health and healing.
Hallelujah.
Ah. So now listen, his wings are overlapping ours when we're in the place of Christ's expiating force, when propitiation is our vision and we know nothing but peace. What we mustn't fail to remember is, again, Ruth was a Gentile. She wasn't an Israelite. The Lord was prophesying to us through what was happening with Ruth here. He was speaking to the church, saying, you're Gentiles, but there's favor for you on my vineyards. He was prophesying to us through her prosperity and for her being joined. He was showing forth Isaiah 54, in actuality, the covenant of his peace that would come to a people who weren't his people. That's Amen. Us.
Amen.
And we're seeing it back then. Oh, the story gets even more interesting because we're going to trail her prosperity and her increase. The Ruth's prosperity increases according to chapter 2, picking up at verse 15. It says here, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, listen to this, oh my goodness, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them,
Hallelujah.
That she may glean them and rebuke her not. Look at the increase now. Now that reminds me of what we just read last week in Proverbs 13. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. He said, you take some, get handfuls, drop them. They belong to her.
Hallelujah.
So you're gleaning that you drop some of your handfuls. That's the wealth of the sinner being laid up for the just. And Boaz is commanding this. Don't you know that Jesus has commanded the same thing over our lives for the transfer to come? Though you gleaned it, drop it. It belongs to my church. It belongs to my people. And let her fall some of the handfuls of purpose to her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening. And beat out that she had gleaned And it was about an ephah of barley. What that ephah is, it's roughly about 9 gallons. 9 gallons, imperial gallons, 9 imperial gallons. So this lady had gleaned in one day 9 imperial gallons of barley. Wow, that's a lot back then, people. It's very important to know that Boaz and Ruth are types and shadows, as I said, of Christ Jesus in the church. Boaz being Jesus and Ruth being the church. Boaz commanded Ruth's increase to come forth to the point of other gleaners having, like I said, to drop handfuls of what they worked for so she could retrieve them. It's a type and shadow of wealth of the sinner being laid up. They're going to drop what they have. They're going to drop it and we're going to glean it. We're going in. We're taking back what belongs to us, what Amen. Rightfully belongs to us. So it's like the scripture, it says, the Lord makes us rich and adds no sorrow. See, what they dropped, they couldn't rebuke her for picking up because Boaz had already said, don't you say a word. So don't worry about it when you're starting to get wealth from other areas and regions and things. Don't worry about it. No one's going to say a word to you. There won't be no trouble with this wealth. There's not going to be one problem with the wealth that's coming, with the prosperity that's coming. No one's going to question how you got what you got. Because the Lord is under control. He's got it under his control.
Bless God.
Now, in the last part of this message here, we're going to see something that takes place. And Boaz redeems Ruth, and Ruth's prosperity and wealth becomes generational. That's what we learned last week. A good man lays up an inheritance for his children's children. That when we learn the system of this prosperity, we're going to give the system, we're going to give this rainbow to our children. It's going to position them for being rapture ready and position them for wealth. We've got to get this. If you ever wanted curses broken off your life, curses of lack and debt and not enough. If you ever wanted curses broken off your life, learn this. Let's learn this. Let's do this. Our children will see us. They will watch our prosperity. They will, I'm telling you, they'll look at us differently. And we too will lay up generational wealth through the system of God's peace. They'll follow after it. They'll want it. So now let's look at this. So now we see Ruth being able, finding grace in the beginning. She finds grace and they allow her, the maidens that were out there, some of the reapers that were out there, let her glean behind. Whatever they might have missed, she could go ahead and take. It was very light. She didn't get a whole lot. Boaz meets up with her, sees her. He finds out she's working, she's the damsel with Naomi. Of course, gossip and words spread about who she was. They didn't give her a bad rap, trust me. Boaz then through God favors her to glean and to glean more and more. Then he favors her again the next day when she came back for them to start reaping and dropping, handfuls of what they were reaping. And so now they're dropping handfuls and she's gleaning. He said, don't you go behind, you go right on the side of them. You go with them. We're good. And so now Boaz now sees this, and now this thing, this prosperity is just building, building. Not just, it's also the love story. He was falling in love with her as well, and likewise, it's just like us and Jesus. This is how Jesus loves you. He wants and loves me. He wants you to come and glean from his vineyards. Well, what's his vineyards? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
The worlds and they that dwell therein. He wants us gleaning from all that he has.
Amen.
From everything he's got. There's nothing too hard for him. Nothing is impossible with him. We can shoot for the stars. We can aim for it. We can go for it. My God, you don't realize what he's ready to do under this covenant of peace. Let's look at it. We're going to read from the Amplified Version. In Ruth 4, pick up at verse 4, and we're going to go down to verse 15. Now, this is when Boaz is beginning to redeem her. She got word from Naomi in, I believe, chapter 3. Naomi told her, said, listen, go unto him spread your skirt at his feet and lay down, cover his feet. Lay down. Don't go unto him until he's feasted and he's drank and he's merry. Then you lay down at his feet and you rest there. Unheard of. Unheard of. Women didn't go into the threshing. They weren't, it wasn't a particular place that she belonged. So the instruction is kind of weird. But Ruth said, at your word, Naomi, I will do this. And when Boaz woke up and he saw her there, and he was startled at first, but then he told her, he said, go ahead and rest there. It was a sign of humility. It was a sign of her really revealing her affection, her gratefulness. And Boaz really, he didn't treat it like in custom. Normally they would put the woman out or whatever. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But Boaz let her rest there. And he was very grateful for what she did by covering his feet. And so now it's really developed. They're starting to develop feelings. Now Boaz knows that he's kin of Naomi, Boaz was. But he also knows that he's not the next of kin. There was someone closer. There was another kinsman that would be able to redeem, according to the law and custom, that would have rights to redeem the field, because Naomi returned. He would have first rights to buy the field, and he would have first rights to anyone that was connected to Naomi. He would have first rights to Ruth as well. So this is where we pick up in the story. It says, so I thought to let you hear of it. This is Boaz talking to the kinsman. He's talking to him now. He says, so I thought to let you hear of it, saying, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it, Boaz is telling the kinsman. But if not, then tell me so that I may know. For there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I am next of kin after you. And he said, I will redeem it. So Boaz didn't care about the field. He's trying to get to Ruth. Then Boaz said, the day that you buy the field from Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, to restore the name of the deceased to his inheritance. The closest relative, redeemer, said, I cannot redeem it for myself, because by marrying a Moabitess, my God, this is powerful, I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption, purchase yourself. He says, take my right of redemption, purchase yourself, because I cannot redeem it. Now, formerly in Israel, this was the custom concerning redeeming and exchanging property. To confirm a transaction, a man pulled off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the way of confirming and attesting in Israel. So when the closest relative, redeemer, said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he pulled off his sandal and gave it to Boaz to confirm the agreement. Then Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought everything that was Elimelech's and everything that was Chalion's and Mahlon's. Ruth's husband, from the hand of Naomi. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife and to restore the name of the deceased to his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the gate of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. All the people at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the household of Israel. May you achieve, listen to this blessing, may you achieve wealth and power at Ephrathah, and become famous in Bethlehem. Further, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman. They're prophesying. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer, grandson as heir. Boom. Generational wealth. Now look at this. Naomi comes from a place of absolute poverty. Ruth and Naomi, absolute poverty. Because of Ruth staying joined, she now walks in great prosperity. She now doesn't just walk in it for herself. She has created generational wealth because of her covenant that she's in with God. Amen. Generational wealth is created. Now her son would become heir of all that Boaz would have. And I want you to know who the son is. It's Obed, David's father. Now this lineage is coming all the way down. And it does, just like you said, L. Allison, it trails all the way to Jesus Christ. Yes. This wealth, this prosperity comes all the way in the lineage to Christ our Lord. This is not that he needed it, but the earth is his in the fullness thereof. Now we're touched by this. We're blessed by this. We're joined together. And we now are, man, we're heirs unto this. Generational wealth was created. When we stay joined, when we become joined and start to walk in prosperity, I'm telling you, it's going to be generational wealth that's created. But we've got to make up in our minds that we're going to stay joined day in and day out and not give up on this thing and have right judgment to understand our position so that we might receive what God has already intended for us to receive. There's a transfer that's coming, but it's coming by way of the covenant of God's peace.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's coming by the fruit of peace. And may his name, talking about the heir, may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be one who restores life and sustains your old age. For your daughter-in-law, listen to this, who loves you, talking about Ruth, your daughter-in-law who loves you is better to you than seven sons. Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus. Better to you than seven sons, this one woman that stayed joined, not just to you, but to God, found favor.
Hallelujah.
Understood that favor belonged to her. And then a domino effect of prosperity just continued and continued to the point where it built generational wealth. She's better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Boaz redeemed Ruth.
Hallelujah.
Though he wasn't next of kin, Naomi. Kin to Naomi. He was the second next of kin. He was second in line. The kinsmen would have redeemed the land and bought it from Naomi, but Ruth came with the deal. That reminds me so much of us. Where Jesus, my goodness, where Jesus broke custom.
Bless you, Jesus.
God broke custom and came unto us.
Hallelujah. Yes, he
came unto us. The custom was you don't marry outside. God himself made a law. You don't marry outside of Israel. All you Israelites, you marry Israelites. You don't marry out. God himself did exactly what Boaz, when Jesus came unto us, he said, you know what? I'm not sticking with that custom. I'm going to go where righteousness is. I'm going unto a people that are not my people.
Bless your name.
And I'm going to set them up. I'm going to prosper them like I wanted to do Israel, like I wanted to do you. The first of kin said, no, I can't go out of custom. Jesus said, I can. And I will. And I'll come unto a people that are not a people. And I will bless them. And I will multiply them. I will be their God and they will be my people. And I will give them all that I possess. I will freely, it will be my good pleasure to give it to them. Because they're joined to me.
Jesus.
So Naomi came with the deal, so he was afraid that he might ruin his own inheritance by marrying outside of Israel. So this opened the door for Boaz to redeem Ruth. Again, it's just like Christ our Lord. He too married outside of Israel. He has redeemed us. And he has forever grafted us into his wealth and prosperity. Let the peace of God be your benchmark. Let it become your beacon that lights and reveals your prosperity. And let's leave generational wealth unto our children's children. Let's tap into this thing. If you ever wanted to be debt-free in your life, God is giving real plain instructions on how to. Don't be without judgment. Don't be without the facts, the truth, the rhema of the fact that prosperity is there alongside of the tranquility you have in your mind. His prosperity and wealth are right there connected to it. Don't be without judgment.
Hallelujah.
Ruth started a domino effect because she judged it right. Surely I'll find grace and someone will let me glean ears of corn.
Hallelujah.
Someone's going to let me glean.
Yes.
And you need to hear today, God is saying, I'm here.
Jesus.
I am your Boaz. Glean what you will from my
vineyards. Yes.
Glean
yes,
what
Lord.
You will. Stay joined
yes,
to me.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Glean
yes,
all
Lord.
That you will from my vineyards.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The earth is mine and the fullness yes. thereof. I did not ordain you to be lacked and having lack and debt and not enough. I ordained you. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Glean. Glean that which you will.
Jesus.
But your tillage is coming because you're with judgment. It's because you're with judgment. You know my plan. You say amen to my plan. And you stay joined through my rhema word. You stay joined to me. So now, come on, let it become your benchmark. Let peace become your benchmark. Let it become your beacon. Let it light and reveal your prosperity. Come on, let's leave this generational wealth behind. That is a desire of mine. That is a desire of mine. To leave generational wealth, but wealth that has been gotten by righteousness. By walking with God. That's the biggest and the greatest part of the wealth. That's the greatest part. That my children understand I got here because of my covenant connection with him. And they too will follow. Oh, how the devil has fought me over the years to leave this behind, to really let this become a staple in their lives. But I'm telling you right now, it's my fight, it's my prayer. I will leave this wealth behind for my children. I'm talking about the totality, the joining and the prosperity.
Amen.
First,
Lord.
The joining.
Amen.
First and foremost, the joining. But then the revelation that prosperity is with it. They'll have the full package. And then their children's children will. Because it's my every intention that the Lord shows them he does make rich and add no sorrow. It's my every intention for them to have their eyes wide open, that there is no greater level of prosperity, whether it's monetary or inward. There's no greater level that comes outside of God. There is none. And I want them to know it. I want them to see it. I want them to have it. And I want them to understand it and pass it down. My goodness, that's what he said in Isaiah 54, didn't he? He said, great will be the peace of thy children. Great will be the peace of thy children. Great will be the prosperity. Yes. Yes. And I hear this for you, Elder. Elder Donna, it's nowhere near too late for you to leave this. It's nowhere near too late.
Hallelujah.
For your children to see this on your life. It's nowhere near late.
Hallelujah.
And I will do this.
Yes.
And they will know. They will come to know. And then they'll follow to know.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't be without judgment. Please judge righteously. Judge the justice that God has left inside of his peace for you. Judge the prosperity. Understand it. Understand that you are a participant in this prosperity. Understand it. Judge it from there. Don't you allow your situations or circumstances, don't you allow all of life's woes to give you improper judgment concerning this covenant and this fruit of peace. Don't you be without, don't you allow the harvest that's in your ground to be destroyed because you're judging the situation wrongly. Stop looking at what you are able to do and understand what he's already done.
Amen.
Understand it. Ruth wasn't without judgment. And it started something wonderful in her life. Take a moment, even right now, if you're under this expiating force, if you're under this place of peace, take a moment right now and please align your judgment. Align the truth to it, to the fact that you are under God's prosperity plan. Do it now. Do it now. And let it start a domino effect. Let it start a domino effect in your life. Let it start right now. If you're there, if you're in the place of the joining, you're in the place of his prosperity. Precious blood of Jesus was shed for this reason here. It was shed for this. This is the New Testament in his blood. This is the new covenant being revealed. Oh, let's step up. Let's take it. Let's walk in it. Let the world look at us and say, where did they come from? How? Let the Lord transfer the wealth of and riches of this earth. Let him transfer it to you. Let it supernaturally happen. Don't sit there and figure this out and figure that out. No, Ruth didn't know who was going to favor her. She just knew that favor was going to be there. You don't need to know who, what, where, and why.
So true.
Just know that God is favoring you.
Amen, Lord.
Because you're joined to him. Release all of the ways and avenues you think you're going to prosper that might happen. Forget that. It's just God. It's just him. Let him figure out all the rest of the schematics of your prosperity. He's already figured it out. Lift your hands and receive. Receive. Receive and thank him for his grace. Thank him for his favor, which are prosperity. Just thank him for it. Don't try to figure where, forget where. Just thank him that it's coming. It's coming. It's coming to you now. It's being released.
Okay.
It's being released. Being released. Ruth went up there. She didn't have not one ear of corn. She had nothing. But she went up with a word. She went up understanding that grace was there. Grace was going to be there. It's going to find them. And she knew it. She knew it. You got to know it like that. If you two are joined, come on now. It's right there. The shalva. The shalva is there. Someone's getting a breakthrough today. Several are getting breakthroughs today. Financial breakthroughs. Prosperity. Favor. He's pouring it out. He's pouring it out. Hey, God, yes, he's pouring it out. I hear the Lord say this system of abundance is going to outdo whatever you've been doing to earn. it's going to overtake, mm-hmm. and it's going to become the main source of your prosperity. It's going to overtake, and it's going to become the main source of how you live. It's going to become your livelihood. Oh, glory be to God. You're recognizing your judgment to the fact that he, my goodness, because you're joined, this, your judgment is going to become the main source of your prosperity. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory be to God. Glory. Glory be to God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Evangelist says this. Evangelist Darrell says, this is powerful and this is truth. Kurt says this. Minister Kurt says, amen. Favor showed up. Elder Allison says, hallelujah. Elder Donna says, bless God. Evangelist Darrell says, so powerful. The joining leads us to our inherent rights. The second shalom, God's judgment. My goodness. Hallelujah. Blanche says, amen. Elder Donna says, amen and amen. Elder Evangelist Darrell says, again, wow, so powerful, so powerful. Kurt says, amen. And Elder Donna says, so, so good. And I say amen to all that you guys said. I agree. I agree. And I also agree that it is our time. It's our time to stay focused. Judge yourself, and when you're not in the place of joining, make sure you get joined again. Just get in the rhema. That is expiating force that comes by way of his blood. Just puts you right back in the position. And then please do judgment the same way Ruth did. Surely favor is coming to find me. Surely prosperity is here with this. And the more you do it, the more you live it. The more you judge it. The Lord showed me, he said, this is where you see 30-fold, 60, and 100. This is where these things start to come into play. This is where I saw, ooh, glory. Naomi started off on a low level. Then she went up on a high, about 60, and then she hit 100-fold. She kept judging it right. Ruth kept judging it correctly. Naomi gives her a word to go lay at his feet. Boom, she lays it. She's in the word. You know Naomi was hearing from God. She stays right there, staying joined to what was being said. And all of a sudden, she's walking in the full inheritance to the point where she's leaving generational wealth to her children. And you know it was left for her children's children because we got Obed, and then Obed had David. Then David had Solomon. Look at the domino effect of wealth.
Wow.
Out of Ruth comes the guy, Solomon, who had the most wealth in the history of the world, still to date. All because she judged it right. Surely I'll find the one who has grace for me. And I say to you, and I'm closing, surely you have found the one who has grace for you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm finished right there.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.